But then Hebrews 10:24 says, provoke each other to love. But love isn't easily provoked. So I'm saying, all right, God, what are you saying? What's in that? Help me to comprehend that. What is it? I know this much. Well, first of all, I know that I don't have all the answers. But I know that when he whets our appetite and he invites us to dig and he says, come on, seek, seek more, seek deeper. I've said it before. If we really, really seek the Lord, you're going to have crummy fingernails. They'll be short and worn off and they'll be a little dirty because his greatest truths, he digs, he buries. They're not laying on the surface to just come casually by and say, oh, that's wonderful, I'll pick that up. No, he's the God that hides, and he hides the most powerful of his truths. Why? I think there are multiple reasons, but one of them has to be is that truth in and of itself is just so powerful. In the wrong hands, the wrong reason, misunderstood, it's not for everybody. He doesn't bring us to the receipt of something powerful and beautiful for any reason. We have to be ready for it. The same way as when your children were young. I mean, I wanted to give my son a mini bike and a go-kart since he's 2 years old. I would never have given that when he was 3 or 4 or 5. He wasn't ready to start fooling around with motors until he was 12, 13, because I loved him too much to put something in his hand that was possibly destructive to him before his time. So God hides and buries, not because he delights in teasing us, because it brings something us out of us as we learn to knock, seek, to dig after him. So I don't know about this whole thing about provoke, but that's a word that's happening right now, and I'll tell you by the Spirit, that is a word that's happening now. There is going to be a greater provocation in this house. And I'm not exactly sure what that looks like, but I know that what it's for and what it's unto, it's for a greater love, it's for good works. Which means that the Holy Spirit is going to have to be all over that. Because the only way I know how to provoke is the way the other places in the New Testament, almost all of them, where it says, fathers, provoke not your children. I provoke my wife sometimes. She's laughing because she knows it's true. I'm a tease. You know what I mean? Sometimes I don't pick the right time to tease. Paul, I think I'm a little bit like you. Does he tease? No, never? Okay. I can't tell you. I grew up with a mother who used to tease us all the time. It was fun. We loved it. I loved my mom. She'd do crazy things. She got her point across and she'll never be forgotten. She'll always be loved. But she liked to tease us sometimes. But it wasn't a provocation unto anger. It was always a laugh. There's always something good and sweet at the end of it. It just pressed it down into being memorable. And I think that that's sort of what the Lord means when he says that we're to provoke one another. Unto love and to good works. And then the next verse, of course, saying, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. Oh, that's sad. Comes right out and says it. This is the way it's going to be. There's going to be some of you guys that aren't going to go. He says, but don't go there. He says, don't forsake it. Don't forsake the assembling, even though some do. But exhort one another. So much more, even so much more. Again, as you see that day approaching, it's getting really important. It's not just important, it's growing in importance. It's increasing importance. And that means stretching, learning, growing, enlarging, and sometimes by one another's hand. That's what's behind this wall. That's my prayer for what happens behind this wall. Because nothing provokes you or I more. Pastor can preach all he wants. I can say anything I want to behind that desk. And I can pray God for wisdom to be able to share it. And I can play songs or sing songs, some of them that might move a heart, but nothing moves a heart like having your brother or your sister have a very real, very transparent way of explaining what God's doing in their life, or in their child's life, or in their husband's life, how he's delivered you into forgiveness for something that was seemingly unforgivable to all of us. So it's the real transparent testimony that I think provokes. Certainly the way it's worked in my life. In the evenings of hosting the Holy Spirit that we've done, I've told it to you a few times about the young man that came up when my son was lost in his heroin addiction and flirting with death. And we had a marvelous time, an unprepared, unrehearsed time. The whole evening became about the prodigals who were in a really bad place. And that beautiful young man stepped up and he looked at me and said, "Sir, I am that prodigal." And then I began to see such an evidence of Jesus in and through his life and the Holy Spirit all over him that the Lord reminded me and proved to me again, I'm not done. Get that look off your face. I'm not done. Get that prayer on your lips. I'm not done. And I know now as I look at my son and I see the beautiful father and the husband he is, the answer that he is to people in drug addiction, the counselor he's become. Pastor or I or you or others would have no answer for some of these people, but I've seen them find an answer through David. That began with a faith that was provoked in me by a man who was willing to be transparent and honest and share a brief testimony, unabashedly ashamed. And I've listened to as many sermons as you ever have. I've heard all types of prophetic words, but nothing spoke to me like that young man's testimony. So we all have one. That's the beautiful thing. God designed it that it's not that, I don't mean to sound irreverent when I say goofy fivefold ministry, but sometimes we've been brought up in a culture saying, there's a fivefold, you're not it. He does that, you don't do that. You know what I mean? No, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Yes, there are offices. Yes, there are men who are called into the office of prophet, but that does not excuse one of us from moving in the spirit of prophecy. We're called to that. We know the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Word is really clear about that. Another brother might be called to the office of evangelism. That's what he does 24/7, 7 days a week. He's an evangelist. That does not excuse us from doing the work of an evangelist and for coming to the place of knowing what it is. So the age of led and fed within the local church in the corporate sense of gathering to hear and receive, 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 hear and receive is drawing to an end. It's coming to an end. What is coming to a beginning is the way we hear and receive. We'll receive from the Holy Spirit more and more through each other, because this word, which somebody lived and died to place in our hand, that said, let not yourselves forsake the gathering of this brethren, especially as you see this day approaching, and to provoke one another unto love. That's there for a very specific reason. So, I want to do something a little different right here and now. How much time do we have? We have a little bit of time left. Do we? What time? I'm completely... All right. I'm all over the place, so I have no idea what to expect. But I warned you before that I had a sense that we were going to get called out of our comfort zone. That doesn't mean I'm going to ask you to do anything you don't want to do. But what I am going to do is I'm going to ask Doreen and anyone else that wants to help her to take a few of these chairs and just make a big semicircle. Start here and go around. And I'm going to ask the people in the front and the back and the sides, wherever you are, to come sit in this circle for a reason. The circle speaks of unity. The circle speaks, you know, one time we did an evening of hosting the Holy Spirit. We started putting these chairs like this, and we had Jewish people come up to us and say, "This is such a Hebraic Jewish thing. It's God's honored in the circle. Make a circle, God. Don't go long. Come in. Bring it in. It's gonna come around. Go for it, mom." Yeah, no, keep them there, Joanne, only because I don't want to look at the back of anyone's head. Pull it back so the circle starts here. I want to be in the circle. Yeah, I want to be in the circle. See, the thing about the circle is, one of the things is, you're not looking at the back of someone's head. That's something that we've come to really try to get away from in Matthias. Because when you look at the back of somebody's head, there's something that's lost. You guys are a lot better looking from the front, you know that? And it also does something else. Put more chairs if people aren't comfortable sitting right up against one another. And you could put another, start another little row in the back. Yeah, you can do that. I just don't want to be behind anybody. I want to be able to see everybody. Like, I want everyone to see everybody. Now, all right, whatever. You know what I've learned? We're good. You know what I learned, guys? All right, it'll just come together, huh? Okay, hon, I think we're good, sweetheart. Thank you. Now, I realize... Yeah, I got it. I realize that there are certain phobias and that there are certain... and that there are certain discomforts. And so I wasn't kidding when I say that I thought that we might be called a little out of our comfort zone. And if it was really up to me, I'd like to find a way of doing it to make the circle much bigger so there's room in between, so sometimes you don't feel like bumping elbows with somebody. I get that. The idea of the circle is that we see one another, we can hear one another. Because what I'd like to do, we sang that song before about make me an instrument, make me a song of praise. Sweetie, that's good. Thank you. That's good. Thank you. We'll continue to worship for a minute. The thing that's great about the circle also, if the Lord puts a song upon your heart, and I can know it, we can just sort of go somewhere that's unplanned. But let's start with something familiar. And then, guys, As I pull back and it gets really soft again, like when we're not all singing out, that's the time for if you have a word on your heart, a scripture, something that you feel God burning. If you want to leave today without a woulda, coulda, shoulda, this is a great time to get rid of the woulda, coulda, shoulda. Okay? Now, we talked about His glory. We talked about wanting to bring Him His glory, how glorious He is. And I've done my best to try to share with you my heart about that I believe that each of us have aspects of His glory. That's what happens here. See, what the Holy Spirit can do and what He desires to do, He wants to dot the I here and cross the T there. He wants to start something here and He wants to finish it over there and enunciate it differently over there, because He wants to prove to us that it's not about one man coming and prepared and teaching you and hearing and being led and fed. No, he wants to speak and move and be according to His will. And as we learn to trust and yield, There's only two things that I need you to understand. I understand that you don't make an omelet without breaking a few eggs, which means that if you share something that later you think, oh boy, that was stupid, that was goofy, that was inappropriate. Boy, that's happened to me a handful of times. There's no harm. There's no foul. Whatever's done in good faith and good conscience, I mean, we learn. It's a learning process, amen? So, no harm, no foul. The only other thing that I ask is that if you start to speak, don't be like me. Don't be long-winded. Only because the reality is that there are some here that are very strong. They can pray the bark off a tree. You know, they can recite King James, you know, backwards and forwards. And then there's the ones next to them that feel like a grasshopper, which is, oh, I can't pray anything after that, sister, that brother, you know what I mean? I feel like a little grasshopper. No, not at all. God speaks the great. He does a lot with a little. He does most with least and everything with nothing. So let's just worship him for a little bit, okay? And thank you for obliging me, because you deserve the glory and the honor. Oh Lord, we lift our hands in worship and we bless your holy name, because you deserve the glory and the honor. Oh, we lift our hands in worship, we bless your holy name, for you are great, your redeeming love so great. There's no one else like you. Oh, there's no one else like you. You are great, redeeming love so great. There's no one else like you. Oh, there's no one else like you. Cause you deserve the glory and the honor, and we lift our hands in worship, and we bless your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. When we lift our hands in worship, and we bless your holy name, for you are great, redeeming love so great. There's no one else like you. Oh, there's no one else like you, for you are great, you do miracles so great. There's no one else like you. I'll start right now. I just simply, Lord, I want to lift up Pastor and Diane to you, Lord. And I want to speak health and healing over them and each one that's struggling. There's just a number of us, Lord, that are struggling to get well. And Lord, I thank you for the medicines. I thank you for the doctors. But Lord, I ask you for your healing touch this morning. We ask that you would only do what you could do. We ask for the good report, for the testimony of the good report. We ask for it in Jesus' name. disappoint. Because you are faithful. And even as I say that, Lord, I realize that no one can pray the prayer that you've placed in my heart the way I will. And you have that in each one of us, Lord. So I encourage your brethren. Your prayer is unique. It's as unique as your voice is to him. My peace, Lord, you've broken down every wall. You are my peace. You are my peace. You are my peace, Lord, you've broken down every wall. Cast all my cares on you, 'cause you care for me. You are my peace. You are my peace. I'll cast my care on you, 'cause you care. accomplish what concerns me today. Yes, you're able, more than able, Lord, to handle anything that comes my way. Lord, you're able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. 'Cause you're able, more than able, to make me what you want me to be. Sing it together. Oh, you're able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. Lord, you're able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. Lord, you're able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. 'Cause you're able, Lord, you're able, to make me what you want me to be. Lord, you're able, more than what concerns me today. I give it to you, Lord. Lord, you're able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. Lord, you're able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. Bring me where you need me to be. Yes. Just falls into what we've been talking about and hearing, keeping our eyes upon Him. We're all going to walk through valleys and shadows, scary stuff, unsettling stuff, goodbyes that are hard to say, hellos that are difficult to deal with, realities that present. But I guess the real beautiful news is that He's able, and all we've got to do is look to Him. Amen. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And I will worship. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. Say it with me, very simple. Jesus, you're here, and I will worship. And I will worship. Let's sing it again. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. Thank you for it, Lord, your presence. Jesus, you're here. And I will worship. Help me to know your purpose, Lord. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. Very able to answer in specifics. It doesn't always have to be some general, super spiritual thing, but he can speak very, very specifically to our hearts if we allow it. So I'll reach my hands to the heavens. I'll lift my eyes to where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you. I lift my hands to the heavens. I lift my eyes to where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. Trust in you. Father, I simply ask, based upon your word, you said, I will show my goodness to whom I will. Father, we ask, even boldly ask, for that very aspect of your goodness in our lives today. And we do so, Lord God. I do so as one who you've not only convinced, but you've persuaded. You know, brethren, that's been something between him and I. I've never been fast to believe. I got told a lot of times as a young Christian, Rich, you ask way too many questions. It seemed like everything I had to say, we either had a question before or after it. And what I learned is that in his goodness, he would persuade me. You understand that persuading someone is bringing them against their natural way to reveal or to show you something. We've only got a couple of minutes left, guys. And when we're next door doing this, there won't be any more couple of minutes. There'll be whenever it's time for you get up and leave. No judgment, no second thoughts. You just got a roast in the oven, need to use the bathroom, got someone to pick up, whatever it is, you're gonna make your way. But when my heart is heavy, when my bones are weak, when I cannot stand up, your love will carry me. Should the fear I'm fighting feel like sure defeat, I will run and hide, Lord, in the love you have for me. And I will sing the goodness of the Lord. Never fail me, the goodness of the Lord. It overwhelms me, the goodness of the Lord is always true. For the goodness of the Lord never fails me, the goodness of the Lord overwhelms me, the goodness of the Lord is always true. And should my future seem stripped away, oh Lord, you're by my side. You'd never leave, you never walk away. Oh Father, I lift you high. In every struggle you will never stray. My God is by my side. In every storm let my heart give praise. Oh Father, I lift you high. Father, I lift you high. Father, I lift you high. For the goodness of the Lord never fails me, the goodness of the Lord overwhelms me, the goodness of the Lord is always true. The goodness of the Lord never fails me, the goodness of the Lord overwhelms me, the goodness of the Lord is always true. Now, if we can, we are at the end here. Let's just take a moment and just be silent before him. Us to gather as one, to sit in your presence, to hear your voice, to know you, perhaps in a new and a different way. But Father, we thank you that your work in us never finds an end, that you're patient, long-suffering, gracious, and you lead us so beautifully, Lord God. So Father, we ask you in today and in the times ahead, that you just continue in your faithfulness, Lord God. We thank you for it. We bless you for it. We thank you for one another. Help us, Lord God, to learn how to love and even to provoke one another, Lord God, in that loving way, to encourage one another in some way that contributes towards your purpose in in each other. We thank you for it. We bless you for your purpose. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I think the cafe's open, guys. What's that? Oh, offering. Hey, that shows you. That's one of my weakest points. Thank you. We never remember to take an offering. Okay. Paul, would you be so kind? Yes, guys, if you have an offering, you'd bring it to the house of the Lord. That would be great.